That Jesus shed for me.
Flows to the lowest valley. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Notice he said common, not unusual, not something different, just the real, just the genuine, just that which is common to the hearts of these people. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Exhort is a strong word for teaching you how to act. Teaching you something you ought to do. Teaching you for something you ought to be involved in. To exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now James, Division 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Did you hear that? In faith, nothing wavering, nothing wavering, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, woman, think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. What exhortation about faith. What beautiful words. The trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith makes you mature. Makes you take on stature. Take on strong characteristics. Wonderful. Now, Father, grant that your servant may speak forth words that have been designed of the Holy Ghost this morning. Keep my lips, that there be nothing but wisdom in them. That I speak not but that which will exalt and bless the congregation and the people. I claim it, Father, in sweet name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm preaching to you. And I want you to get in the middle of it with me on the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The faith that caused Peter to say to the man at the beautiful gate, such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk. And on through the scripture. Somebody cut another air conditioner on. Brother Marlin, get that one back to the door. I'm sorry, it's got warm in here this morning. The air's been on from early. In fact, we're keeping it on all the time, but this morning it got warmer than I guess anybody expected. So let's go to the Word while he takes care of that. Listen to me now. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now all you got to do is read Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to see the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It was incredible. It was miraculous. It brought great results. And what I think is so beautiful, that Peter, walking down the street in Jerusalem, would cause people sitting under the shadow of Peter's presence be healed. And demons run for escape. Because the power of faith. Now this was not Peter's power. This was Holy Ghost anointing. This was Holy Ghost power. This was the unction of God's Spirit. Not the power of Peter, but the unction of God's wonderful and sweet Holy Ghost. It was a faith that was never seen as double-minded. It was a faith that was never seen as double-minded. They just were not double-minded people. If God said it, they stood on it like it was a rock of Gibraltar. I mean, they didn't vary. They didn't wander around and doubt it. They knew it and they believed it. It was a faith so powerful that the very shadow of these saints became anointed. That's Holy Ghost shadows, okay? Not Peter's shadow, but Holy Ghost shadow upon Peter. An anointing from the Father, from the mighty God, the mighty Savior. And on through the book of Acts. Do you know what they said to this crowd? Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. The greatest need of the church world is a mighty move of God's power and God's presence. The greatest need of the church world is that we prepare ourselves so that faith can come rushing out of us and take hold of us. It's God's faith. It's not our faith, but it comes from Him. Doesn't come up, it comes down. We can't maneuver it. We can't manifest it of human strength. It comes by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Somebody say amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, let's look at some of the great examples of the book of Acts. Let's try to see the kind of faith that He wants us to yearn for. He wants us to cry out for. He wants us to contend for. Let me take a moment to remind you, that word contend is a powerful word. It means more than just asking. It means an attitude that goes before God and says, God, I'm going to stay here on my face with you until this great faith of the early church comes rushing in upon me. I want the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Do you want that faith? How many of you can say, I want that faith? Raise your hand way up high so the Lord knows you mean it. I want that faith. I want that faith, Brother Rodericus. I want that faith, Brother Chuck. That faith that is mighty. That faith that brings miracles in people's lives. That faith where you can speak what God is saying. And God does it by His wonderful power and wonderful Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God moved on me the other morning. I was praying and waiting on God. I felt the Holy Ghost encourage me, move me to call a dear lady who is childless, hasn't had a child, tried miscarriages, talked about adopting, no child yet. I called and said, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and told me you're going to have that baby you've been longing for, and it's going to be a little boy. It's going to be a little boy. I knew what I told her was from the Holy Ghost. I didn't have any doubt. God can open the barren womb by His power just like that. He's a God of the supernatural. But He needs us. He needs you and I so full of the Holy Ghost that we can speak forth those words of faith and confidence and Holy Ghost anointing. And it happened. And I believe it's going to be. I believe we're going to see just that. I want us as a church to together, all of us in faith, begin to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Will you join Brother Chambers? Will you join us in preparation for camp meeting? And not just camp meeting, the services between now and camp meeting. That God will give this church the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That God would give this church the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I have no doubt that it's going to happen. I claim it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you're with me, throw your hand up and say to God, I'm with my pastor. I'm believing with him. I'm believing God to give us as a church the faith once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. Ain't no doubt about it. I'm telling you right here on this pulpit, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen to every one of you that have it in your heart, that get it in your thoughts and in your mind. Well, let's go to some beautiful stories. Let's start, if we might, in the book of Acts. Let's start with chapter 7. I love this story. You know, I'm wondering, I've never preached a lot about Stephen. I look back over my years, and this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. It's really breathtaking. Stephen was a man of faith, a man of God. Let's go with my chapter 7, verse 54. Verse 54. Wherefore, hear these things that were, therefore heard, I go back up. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they rushed on him with their teeth. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen, preaching the gospel of truth, the city of New Jerusalem. And they heard Peter say these things that stirred them with anger. And they rushed on him and gnashed him with their teeth. They bit him. You know, it's like they became dogs. When you get angry enough at righteousness and truth, it's amazing the things that human beings will do. It really is. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly toward heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now here's Stephen. They're biting him. They're gnashing on him with their teeth. And he's so full of the Holy Ghost, he can look their anger right in the face. Never shiver. Never back up. Never get afraid. You see, that's the picture of faith that did not waver. That's the picture of faith that did not bow to the enemy's demands and the enemy's anger. What a picture. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, Stephen was a man of faith. Stephen was proving that faith like he had was mighty to grip the hearts of the hearer. They were moved. They were convicted. They became angry with their fear and anger with their resentment against truth. Stephen just looked up and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now listen, the Bible said Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But in times of desperate need, Jesus stands up. Here is an example of Jesus standing because one of his dear servants was facing a turmoil of the devil. Now, I hope you're behind me. By God's grace and help, I'm preaching to all of us that we might have this faith once delivered to the saints. I tell you, it's a marvelous faith. And Stephen had that faith. He could right in the middle, staring death right down the tube. He could look up and see beyond the threats of death and see the glory of God the Father on his throne and Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. How you say, Brother Chambers, if I can see that, I'll be able to stand. Well, that's the growth we are yearning for. That's the faith we're talking about. The faith once delivered to the saints. The faith the saints used to have. The faith the saints used to manifest. The faith the saints used to know and enjoy. Hallelujah. Then they cry out with a loud voice and stop their ears. And ran up on him with one accord. Well, that's one time the crowd had one accord. They ran up on Stephen. They stopped their ears. We don't want to hear no more what you got to say. We don't want to hear the things you're declaring to us. He was preaching the Lord Jesus to them. He was telling them it was them that crucified the great Son of God. It was them that put him to death. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. And Stephen just stood his ground. Hallelujah. As they rushed on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Hallelujah. Here's a man that had the faith that God is enjoining us to earnestly contend for. Here's a man that had the confidence toward God that he could look death in the face and never waver, never back up an iota, but stand his ground in courage and devotion and dedication. And they got angry, more and more angry, and they rushed up on him with one accord and took off their coats. Man, they wasn't going to get in a little fight with him. They were out for blood. They were out for murder. Took off their coats. And the Bible said, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had so said this, he fell asleep. Now this is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is the faith that stares death right in the eyeball, right in the face. This is a faith that looks at his enemies and says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They really don't know what they're doing. They really don't understand their resistance. They really don't understand. They're not fighting against Stephen. They're fighting against God. You know, when you're a man of God, and you're doing the will of God, and people fight against you, they're really not fighting against you. They're fighting against God. That's the kind of faith we've got to have in this world of ours. We're going to face resistance. We're going to face bullheaded attitudes and bullheaded thinking. But stand your ground and don't bow and don't bend, and you can't burn. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The faith once delivered to the saints. I'm telling you, this faith is dynamite. This faith is dynamic. This faith doesn't bow, it doesn't bend, and it can't burn. This faith will stand the test and keep on with all it's got. It'll keep moving forward and keep manifesting its grace and its love. What a picture. They cried, they stormed him. They stoned him. Stormed him. Stoned him. They did whatever they could do to ensure his death. And he kneeled down and called on the name of the Lord. Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. If you got an enemy, don't you act against him. Thank you for standing, Brother Johnson. Don't you act against him. You just say, Lord, don't lay this sin to his charge. He doesn't understand the fight he's in. He doesn't understand. He can't whip you. He can't defend himself. He can't defeat you. It is impossible. Hallelujah. We will win if you will join me in the fight, the pray, and hallelujah. If you will cry out to God with all this inside of you and contend for this faith, what's delivered to the saints, God's going to impart it. And God's going to manifest it. And God's going to make himself known. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great God. Hallelujah. So what a picture of the faith was delivered to the saints. This is it. Unmovable. No doubts. No fears. No apprehensions. Just standing his ground. I don't know what Stephen was feeling. I don't know the pain, the hurt. I can imagine being stoned to death is not an easy life. Not an easy way to go. Not an easy experience. But I'm here to tell you, God's a faithful God. God is a faithful God. He'll never let you down. Did you know that? He will never let you down. Now, I want you to go to Acts 4. Acts 4 is another powerful example. What a picture. Acts 4. Let's start reading with verse 22, if we might. Acts 4, verse 22. Wonderful picture. I said a wonderful picture. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, Lord, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the truth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Woo! I mean, the whole city has come out against this early church, this young church. I mean, the powers of the rulers and the elders are determined to stop this. These men of God and women of God, they're out for their blood. They are determined. And here they are meeting together after a group of them get out of prison. And they are counseling each other and talking about all the powers of the enemy. And they're saying, but Lord, we don't want you to kill our enemies. We don't want you to destroy them. We want you to give us power to speak thy truth. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And while they spake, glory. Church, when we get a burden for our city, we get a burden for those all around us unsaved. We get a burden for the wicked and the unrighteous. We get a burden for young boys and girls who are so lost, who are so lost, until we cry out, Lord, we aren't worried about persecution. We aren't worried about being hated. We aren't worried about going to prison. We aren't even worried about dying. What we want is boldness to stand up in the face of all of it and speak the truth of God. And the Bible says clearly that God responded to them. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Church, the world is determined and set against this gospel of the Christ. The city of Charlotte, someone told me this week, is leading the nation in deaths on the streets. Capital kind of deaths. Murderous deaths. Charlotte is becoming a hotbed of wickedness of every description. Every ungodly religion in the world has made a post out of Charlotte and settled down here, one right near my home, of wicked spirits worshiping an idol God sitting in the front yard. But I'm here to tell you that we don't have to be afraid of all these enemies and all the pet gods, all of the attitudes of wickedness. We can stand and be strong, and God's Holy Ghost will, oh, hallelujah, I'm waiting for this building to shake. Shake it, Lord. Everybody that's with me, stand up a moment, will you? If you're for this, stand up. If you're for a move of God's Holy Ghost, stand up. If you don't want it, keep your seat, okay? But if you want it, stand up in the name of the Lord. If you're willing to cry out with me and pray for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, let God know I'm on the side of that faith that cannot be stopped, that cannot be defeated, that cannot be put down. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to the great God. Oh, Brother Charles, God is on our team, and we're on God's team. Really, it's not so much about him being on our team as we getting on his. But he wants to be on our team. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, if we're mightily committed, oh, hallelujah. So they cried out, Lord, grant us boldness. Grant us boldness. All we want is boldness. Everybody that wants boldness, say hallelujah. I want boldness. You may be seated. I want to speak with boldness greater than I've ever known, Brother Jose. Boldness of the truth. Boldness of the Word of God. Boldness of the great realities of the Master. What a picture. Now, let's go to Acts 3. Very familiar. We all know Acts 3 by heart, probably. It's a favorite place for a preacher to preach. A favorite place. It is one of the most ideal places to see what just happened in that upper room. They came with the anointing so real upon them. They came with an unction of the Holy Ghost that was so mighty They come to this beautiful gate. It's a lovely place. It's a place back then, at least, was a place that many loved to resort. And people like to come there as a place to reach out for the arms of people. Let's read, if we might, chapter 3, verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an arm. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But then Peter spoke up, "Silver and gold." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, this picture is so beautiful. I have watched people through the years pray for all kinds of diseases and crippled people and bad situations. Situations that needed a miracle. But I'm yet to behold the man or the woman who goes to the crippled person that is just absolutely unable to so much as stand. His legs was probably withered up. He had never walked. He was a man that you would look at and feel sympathy. You would see all kinds of deformities in his flesh. You would know that if he was to get a miracle, he would need therapy for a year or two to be ever able to walk. But these men didn't need therapy. They didn't need the psychiatrist or the psychologist or even the doctors. Peter reaches and get him by the hand. And the Bible said Peter lifted him up. While he was still crippled, Peter lifted him up. Now, this is the kind of faith that God is enjoining us in Jude to cry out for. This is the kind of faith that God wants His church to experience. This is the kind of faith that I hunger for, and I know you must hunger for. It's the kind of faith that you don't have to stand there and wait. You can know what God's doing, and you can move with God and see, woo, see the miracle of the mighty God right in your presence. He reached and took him by the hand and lifted him up. And while Peter is lifting, God is healing. Now listen to that. While Peter is lifting, God is healing. While Peter is reaching for his hand, God is working a miracle. God is working a miracle. God is in the miracle working business. And Peter reaches and took him by the hand and lifted him up. And his feet and ankle bones received strength. And Peter had no more than got him up on his feet until he's a-dancing. He is moving those feet. And in a moment of time, it's almost like instant, he's running into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And he stirs the whole place alive. Oh, Shirley, would you just believe him? These are the kind of miracles we got coming. I'm telling you, Danny Lawless, these are the miracles God will give us if we keep staying on our faces. These are the kind of miracles God will give us if we'll keep crying out and yearning and fasting and praying. Brother Dalton, you hit the nail on the head when you preached the first sermon. You talked about fasting. And I saw your name went on that list immediately when we announced we're fasting again. Because this kind cometh not but by fasting and prayer. Come on, if you believe the word of God, do you believe the word of God? You'll never have it without fasting. It will never come to you. And could I tell you something? It ain't as easy for an old man to fast as it used to be when he was younger. Can you believe that? Now, be my family, will you? Be my family. I'm doing my best to be as good a pastor as I know how to be. But be my family. And understand, it's not as easy for me as it used to be. I've fasted quite a few days at a time. But I'm telling you, right now, a couple of meals, and I have to struggle a little bit. I do. I think that's normal. But I'm telling you this, I'm going to lead you in fasting. Why are you telling me? Because we're a church. We're a body of people. Exactly like they did in the book of Acts. They called a fast and the whole congregation joined right in the middle of it. And I'm asking every one of you, if you want to see miracles, to at least a meal a week, maybe two meals a week. I would say you need two to really make it meaningful. I would. That's my commitment. Here's the list. We only lack four meals. We only lack four meals, having every meal covered. We really would like to have every meal covered three times. We have enough people to do that. And fast and pray. The Bible said this guy, Peter didn't get this by playing checkers during the day. They didn't play checkers, I'm sure. But Peter didn't get it in those kind of childish things. He got it because he'd been with God. He'd stayed on his face. They didn't even have time to feed the widows because they gave themselves to the word of God in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were crying out. They were seeking the face of God. They were hungry for God's visitation. And the Bible said he jumped up and leaped and went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. And the whole crowd got stirred. Can you imagine a Jewish temple of sedate, well-heeled, money-wealthy, you know, these Jewish leaders of Jerusalem? Can you imagine all of them sitting in the temple, and here comes this man running down the aisle? He's jumping, and he's leaping, and he's crying out, hallelujahs. And they said, who is this? And they, of course, were drawn to him, and he immediately pointed it to Peter, and Peter pointed to Jesus. That's really how it happens. People look at us. We quickly point them away to Jesus. Point them away to men of God, women of God. Point them up to heaven. Because it's not by our power. See, this is the faith once delivered to the saints. This is the faith that doesn't know defeat. This is the faith that can look a crippled man right in the eyes and say, in the name of Jesus, I've got something you need, and reach and get him and raise him up, and you get ready for it, will you? You get yourself ready for it, because in the name of the Lord Jesus, it will come if we seek his face. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this story. They came, of course, and got Peter and John and held them. They quickly cried out, don't look at us. It isn't because of our holiness. It isn't because of anything we are. It's because of him. It was Jesus. Now, go with me to Mark, and let's make sure we understand what brings these kind of miracles. The book of Mark, if we go with Mike to chapter 9, and let's begin with verse 26. And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast out that devil, cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing. This kind can come forth by nothing. Now listen to me. You want this faith once delivered to the saints, where demons have to run for their escape? You want this kind of faith that your shadow becomes anointed and people begin to say to you, man, I when you're around, I feel something special about you. When sinners begin to weep, I tell you right now, this kind of faith, this kind of anointing, he said it does not come but by prayer and fasting. If you're not willing to fast, forget it. Hallelujah. Forget it. You'll never be a great man of God. You'll never be a great woman of God. It comes by fasting and prayer. I'll never forget when I was called after camp meeting last year. And people said to me, we went home and told our church, it wasn't us. It was that church at Paul Creek fasting and praying. That's their words, not mine. Their words. I'm here to tell you, it comes by fasting and prayer. It comes by fasting and prayer. Everybody that will, say it out loud with me. It comes by fasting and prayer. Would you say that without me? Everybody. It comes not but by fasting and prayer. Will you get committed? I'm talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I got to have it. My sickle, my soul pants for it. My whole being pants for it. I got family lost, going to go to hell if God don't move. And God's already moving. I'm already seeing the result. I'm already seeing effect. I saw a young boy whose mom was sitting here this morning. He's lost. I don't know that he's ever been saved. Maybe a little bit. Maybe, well, I don't get no such thing as a little bit. But I never seen it. And he came up to this altar to speak to me and to show me his love. And I saw it all over him, Mother. You're listening to me. That boy's going to be right with God before you know it. And there was one who was coming last Sunday just to eat with us. And the mother said, didn't come because he's afraid he's going to get saved. I want to tell you something. Raise a hand and help me a minute, would you? Come on, slip your hand up if you're with God's word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel his holy presence. God wants to give this church the faith that was once delivered to the saints. God wants to give it to us. But he's got to have some committed people. He really has. He's got to have some of you to get the mully grubs out of you. Get yourself right with God. Because you can't have those muddy grubs and be right with God. There ain't no way. It ain't possible. Now hear me. God's calling us. God's calling us. I beg of you. I beg of you. Now let's go to Acts 5. Am I closing? We got to see Acts chapter 5. I love this chapter. I don't know that I've ever preached like I should from this beautiful picture. Chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both for men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Anybody want to read them last two words? They were healed. How many? See, our churches, it's a miracle if one person comes in. And gets healed. We've been part of those churches that were not having miracles. We've been part of them. We don't have anything to brag about. We don't have anything to feel haughty about. I'm not preaching this because we already experiencing this wonderful move of God's mighty power. I'm preaching it because I want to see your family saved and your loved ones brought to God and your children right with the Lord and my children right with God. I feel like sometimes I'm going to explode in my broken heart over my children. I want them saved. I want them saved. And I'm going to cry out to God. I pledge every one of them, I won't quit praying for you until you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Hallelujah. God is a God of power. And they brought them all over this area into Jerusalem. Would you like to see people come in here to get miracles? Because Paul Creek knows how to pray. And Paul Creek knows how to see a miracle. Oh, we're doing things that we know to do around here. That's good. That's not the great need we have. It's God's mighty Holy Ghost power. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Give up some meals. If you saw a soul about to drop off into hell, and you could tell they were damned and ready to spend eternity in a devil's hell, and the Lord looked at you and said, if you'll fast for me tomorrow, I will save that person that you see about to drop off into hell. How many of you would fast tomorrow? Huh? How many of you would take God's challenge and you'd put your plate aside, Never forget hearing Ray Hughes tell about his sweet wife at a breakfast. They were in revival in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they were wanting to see a break, and the services was locked up, and the congregation was all split apart and divided, and they didn't know what to do. And Sister Hughes said, Ray, I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning. You go ahead. The table was already set. She said, I'm going in yonder to pray. He said she went in that room and he listened. He joined, of course, but he listened. He said, I've never heard such moaning coming out of a woman in my life. I've never heard so many grunts and so many words spoken that I did not recognize. He said, all day that woman stayed on her face and wept and cried and prayed. He said, we got to church that night and heaven came down. That place woke up and came apart with spiritual revival, and God showed his power to them. I'm telling you, church, if you'll join us in fasting and prayer in these days and weeks to come, we will see a move. We will see a breaking in. We will see a great touch of heavenly power. We will see some sick people healed. We will see some miracles of salvation. And some of your loved ones, some of your dear loved ones, some of your precious sons or daughters will come to Christ. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. I want it. I want it. I am crying out to him. I am pushing God. I am pushing God, Brother Otto. I'm telling God, you said contend for the faith. God, I'm contending with you for that faith. That word contend means I'm giving God a run for his money. That's an old saying. I'm giving God all I got until I break through. I'm giving God all I'm capable of giving him until he moves. I'm telling you, I'm pledging to God in this altar that I will pray until the faith that was once delivered to the saints doesn't just touch me. I want every one of you to feel it. I want every one of you to have it. I want every one of you to know it. Would you stand? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This kind, Jesus said it, plain as he could say it. This kind cometh not but by prayer, fasting and prayer. I believe it's prayer and fasting in that text. Prayer and fasting. Raise your right hand up to him, will you? Father God, mortally I come home my time. I weep inside me, God. I moan out with all that's inside of me, God, for a mighty move of your Holy Ghost. I cry out, God, that everything that hinders any one of us, including me, that might be in my mind and my thoughts, that you would break it, and that you would wash me with pure water, and that you would sanctify my mind and my thought life, and visit me with the move of the Holy Ghost, and then visit this precious congregation, every last one of them. Oh, Father, they are dear to us. Everybody here, I love them, and I believe you for them, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody lift your hand and pray with me, will you? Father, we believe it. Father, we believe it. Father, we're crying out with all this inside of us. Father, I'm charging heaven and I'm charging hell to move out of the way and heaven to visit us, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you want God to manifest this faith to us, let's meet together in this altar. Bring your Bible in your hand. I love hearing that Brother Bruce does that. Bring your Bible in your hand. God, I believe this word. I want you to stand so we all can come to stand together. Good congregation. I love every one of you. Visitors, new families. We love every new family God's given us. We love every one of you. We love every one of you. We love every one of you. So good to have you back, Brother Johnson. You were gone way too long. Are you glad to be home?
When I in awesome wonder consider all the star, Joy shall fill my heart.